Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Today on the HR Power Hour, we're going to have a pair of great guests on our show. First, Ruth Lund, VP Organizational Development at Legacy Supply Chain Services. And then Phil Clothier, Chief Executive Officer of the Barrett Value Center. They're going to be talking about, did you hire Deadwood or did you kill it? The Value Center, V-A-L-U-E-S-C-E-N-T-R-E, is an organization that helps you measure the level of fun and level of engagement of your organization. You can use these tools to really help with the culture and the fit of the individuals in your organization and to really get behind your mission and values and not make them just a plaque on the wall. Both of you, thank you very much for being on the show today.
Thank you, David. It's great to be here.
Thank you, David.
You know, this is a very interesting conversation we're going to have today. We're going to be talking about some really interesting things that I've had to be able to read, and thank you very much, Phil, for sending the information over, on this whole program that you have, this Value Center. Could you tell us a little bit about your organization? Let's set the stage, if we could. Tell me a little bit about your organization, how it came to be, and exactly where you see the value for organizations in terms of using the products we're going to talk about today.
Yes, of course. Well, so you might hear from my accent, I'm English, and actually I'm in England as we're recording this today. And Barrett Value Center, there's really two parts to the organization. There's a team of 19 of us who are the core employees of the organization, and we work through a network of over 4,000 consultants in over 80 countries who use our models and tools. And the core of our work is supporting leaders in building values-driven organizations. And what does that mean? What it means is that we provide measurements of values and culture to help leaders really talk to their people, create new conversations with their people to help the organization become happier and more successful places to be.
When you're talking about happier and more successful, those are a little bit intangible. I mean, successful, yes, has a, you can look at productivity, you can look at all the different measurements. Talk about happiness. How do you really measure happiness in an organization?
Well, let me paint a picture for you. It's the difference between someone arriving at work in the morning and like saying, yes, I want to be here. This work drives me. It fits with my values. It fits with who I am. And I'm excited to be here. And someone else who can barely pull the sheet off in the morning to get out of bed because that sinking feeling in their stomach around, I don't like this work. I don't like what we're doing. I don't like the people I'm doing it with, and this doesn't work for me. And so when an organization becomes a reflection of my personal values and I can be who I am in that space, then you can bet that the people are going to be happier in that situation, and they're going to be more productive, and they're going to be more creative. And guess what? Organizations make more profit as well when that is true.
You know, it's interesting. It really does start with leadership at an organization and top down, doesn't it? It really is and does matter what a company believes is the values and mission and that people can buy into both when they move forward. Ruth, your organization is one at Legacy that has used this type of organizational tool, if you might call it. You want to just talk quickly, and then we'll certainly get into the meat and potatoes of this, but talk quickly about why you find that these type of tools are valuable to an organization.
Well, we're very intentional here at Legacy to build the culture that we think is going to make us the most successful and sustainable organization that we can be. And taking that intangible, measuring culture, and taking a look at how aligned are our employees with our vision, our mission, our values, and being able to look at that year over year and strategically get intentional about creating alignment in our organization so that we are more successful, more sustainable for the organization and our employees is just fundamental to who we are. And the Barrett Value Center and their work has just been invaluable to us over the last, I guess, 6 or 7 years now, because we were always wanting to be intentional about being values-driven, but really didn't have a way to measure that immeasurable piece. You know, are we really hitting it? So it's been just a tremendous partnership for us.
Since we're talking about leadership and we're talking about some of the basics, let's talk about an organization and what exactly a values-driven organization is. Phil, can you kind of define one for me?
Yes. Well, the first thing to understand is that every single organization is values-driven. But the difference is those organizations who are consciously driven by their values and make decisions based on those every day, and those who are unconscious in their values. And let me give you two real examples. And so this is from two real surveys of two finance organizations in North America. And we asked the employees, select the values that most reflect how your organization operates. And the employees in the first one collectively said, client satisfaction, making a difference, integrity, teamwork, humor, fun, quality, and ethics. And then we asked the same question to the people in the second organization about select the values that most reflect how your organization operates, and they said blame, short-term focus, internal competition, buck passing, risk averse, and information hoarding. Now, where would you prefer to work? And guess which of those two organizations was actually the more profitable and kept their staff for a longer period? They had a much lower turnover of staff. And so, of course, every organization is values driven, but the difference is, one, are they consciously driven by the values they choose? And the second is, are they driven by values that are based in fear, or values are more based in trust?
Well, you know, it's interesting. One of the things you're talking about is transforming an organization. You're talking about taking one that, yes, is mission-driven, is focused, and everybody always says that they have a mission, they have a focus. But it's whether the organization really rallies around that, and that the CEO and all the leadership from top down understand that it's all value-driven across the organization. They can see that. So when you're talking about an organizational transformation, tell me about the steps that you would say are critical to making sure an organization is ready to go through this transformation. Let's start at the front end of this a little bit and say, why are we ready to take on this transformational process?
Well, at the start point is, and this sound might sound a little bit silly, but the start point is the sparkle in the eye of the chief executive. Is there really that sense that people's minds and hearts are open to what needs to happen? And if they're not ready, then they shouldn't even start, frankly, because when you do this sort of measurement and you ask people who they are and what they want, and you don't act on that, you'll create more cynicism and more problems. So don't start unless you're ready. Unless you're willing to be influenced by your people and their views, then you shouldn't start. But once you've covered that and people are ready to listen, many leaders really do want to do a good job, but they just don't have the knowledge to do that. And from our standpoint, and by the way, we're not the only provider of these sort of materials. There are others, so I don't want to say there's only one way to do this. But once you are ready, providing a measurement of understanding who your people are, how they see the culture now, and how they'd like it to be, provides a very powerful start point for focusing the conversation. So in our situation, the results are not the end results. What you're getting into is a dialogue around, like, what do we want to change and how do we make that real? And involving everybody in the organization in that dialogue, I think, is a critical part of that transformation. So as consultants, we're not going in there with fixed ideas about what the answers are. We're helping people to create their own answers of what needs to change.
Ruth, you have an organization that has embraced this. You were there at the beginning when this whole process started. Tell me about the organization and how you remember the beginning stages of this process and how it made a difference, how it changed, and maybe some of the challenges that were a part of this. And then I'm going to come back to you, Phil, and I'd like to start going through kind of the process and how it worked.
Sure. Yeah, so I was, you know, really lucky enough to come on board with Legacy when we were moving into intentional cultural development. And Phil is spot on when he says it starts with the twinkle in the CEO's eye, because our CEO, Ron Kane, definitely wanted to make sure that we were authentically values-driven. And it's very, very important to him as a business leader. And so when we came across these tools, it just fit with who we were and what we were trying to do. And it really gave us the tools to start making it real and taking that that immeasurable and making it something that we could actually intentionally work with and shape and keep our eye on over the years. So it started with our CEO, and then it moved into our executive leadership team, and they spent some really important time looking at our core values. And they actually reshaped our core values to make sure that they were hitting the six areas of the balanced business needs. And Phil might talk a little bit more about that. But just making sure that we were covering everything that was going to be needed for us to move forward and really reflect who we want to be as an organization. So that executive team got aligned on the same page, really talked about how they defined those values individually and as an executive team and what it would mean for the organization. And then we went through a really big change management process, because not only were we shifting how we were going to be developing our leaders, because we were moving from a very transactional leadership development platform of, kind of checking the boxes, everybody has supervisory 101, whether you need it or not, et cetera, to a transformational, reflective leadership development process that used these values to measure how a leader was being experienced in the organization. So we had to kind of introduce this whole concept across our company. And that was challenging. I mean, we spent a year in preparation and readiness and really cascading this whole thought process of, we need to understand who we are, become aligned as an organization, and determine that we're gonna authentically live this out and measure ourselves to it. And it's been a great experience. We're 6 years in, and we've watched our company just become a more aligned organization, more accountable to one another, to who we say we are. So it's not just words on the wall. It's very, very serious. We shape our 360-degree feedback for everyone in the company, from the CEO down to a facility manager and a supervisor, is shaped around behaviors that support our six core values. So it's taken very, very seriously here. And again, without that CEO buy-in and driving it through his executive team, we couldn't possibly be doing this.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Established in 2009, CrossFit Cascabay is Portland's most experienced strength training facility. CrossFit is the principal strength and conditioning program for many police academies, elite special forces, champion martial artists, housewives, children, and everything in between. At CrossFit Cascabay, you'll be able to reduce stress, manage weight and body composition, enhance physical strength and endurance, improve flexibility, and recover from injury or illness in a safe environment. The time is now. Stop in for a free demo. For more information, please visit CrossFitCascabay.com. CrossFit Casco Bay, forging elite fitness.
In today's digital age of instant communication, the art of conversation is being lost. Too often, verbal communication is reduced to shouting, not talking. Join me, Steve Woods, also known as Steve-O, for Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O, for inspired conversations with extraordinary guests. We'll talk sports, health, green, and life its own self. Catch Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O, Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on News Talk WLOB, AM 1310, streaming live on WLOBradio.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And we are talking with Phil Collier, Chief Executive Officer of the Barrett Value Center, and Ruth Lund, VP of Organizational Development at Legacy Supply Chain Services. You know, we just ended the last segment, and Ruth, you were talking about the importance of values not just being those written on the wall, whether it be the mission statement, the values of the organizations. Lots of companies have these, right? They're up on the wall. They're for everyone to see and to rally around. But what you do with them matters. And Phil, maybe what I'd like to do is have you take us through why it is important to incorporate those, and then we can start on the process of how this actually works.
Well, Ruth really triggered me when she said words on the wall, because the majority of organizations now have done some sort of work on putting their values on the wall. And if I kind of grossly characterize, what we see is that the leader of the organization will have a great idea one Sunday afternoon and write these words out and get this poster printed up and puts it up on the wall. And for the next year, everybody walks past these words and ignores them, and in fact gets cynical about them. And I would say that's the majority of how it operates. And then people say, yeah, we tried that value stuff. It doesn't work. And at the other end of the scale, a real story about a big car manufacturer in Sweden. You probably know them. They're called Volvo. They went as far as their head of cultural transformation. He was involved in every board meeting, so that when they made a decision about new policy or new products or new whatever it was, then it was Tor's job to say, so how does the decision you've made reflect our vision and our values and our mission? And nothing would get out of that boardroom unless they were completely true to their values. And that's a way of making absolutely sure that it gets lived. Now, is it necessary to have someone who's there to hold that? I don't think it is. I think that actually the executives in the organization should be able to do that. But when they can do that and the employees see it, the employees know it's true and they know that it's operating with integrity, and they will do it too.
When you're talking about setting up this process, so let's fast forward a little bit. Organization Yeah. realizes that they need assistance in this area. They need Yeah. some process in place. And you said it. There are many, many different types of processes out there. So why would you say your process provides a really strong result for an organization?
Why would our process provide a really strong result? The first point is that with our survey, we measure the personal values of the people in the organization. And that's critical, because when you're transforming an organization from where it is now to where it wants to be, doing that in a way that honors the personal values of the people is absolutely critical. So when I know my people stand for truth and honesty and family and humor fun, those sort of words, then I would run the transformation program differently for an organization where the people stand for logic and respect. And can you see there's a qualitative difference in who those people are? So that's the first thing. We measure who are the human beings and what are their personal values. And that is critical to understanding the transformation process. It means people, you're engaging their hearts as well as their minds. The second part is that when we measure, we're not just measuring the soft stuff of financial stability and customer satisfaction and excellence and teamwork. We're also measuring some of those fundamental fear things. So if an organization has blame and manipulation and hierarchy and corruption, then people have the opportunity to pick those words as well. So we can measure what's positive about what's happening in the organization, but also those factors that are undermining. And one of the things we find is that when those undermining factors show up in the results, it gives people permission to talk about the things that they haven't had permission to talk about before. Some people call that the elephant in the room. It's like, we all know that this bad stuff is happening, but nobody's allowed to talk about it. And when it shows up in these results, and you give people permission to talk about it, then the shift can start to happen. We can at least name what's going on, and when you can name the problems, you can start to envision what the solution might be.
Phil, just as as a quick jump in for a second, because I think that's an important piece of what you're talking about. Cultures sometimes prevent individuals from truly saying what they feel. And we know this is true, no matter what we talk at organizations. What is it that's in the process that allows an individual to truly have that comfort? Because that is a trust issue, a trust that they're going to not sabotage their career, a trust that the CEO isn't going to fire them, a trust that they may have heard this in the past, but now it's for real. So how do you take that and say, hey, this is for real?
Okay. Well, that starts right at the beginning, and I said right at the beginning, you need to have that conversation with the executive team. Are you willing to be influenced by these results? And sometimes executive teams and leaders get shocked by what they see, but the trust piece is simply in that people can be anonymous when they take the survey. So if you have an organization of 4,000 people, then you send an email to 4,000 people and you make the whole process anonymous, so they don't have to put their name in. They're not tracked. And so that people really can talk when they pick the values to describe the culture, they really can do that anonymously, and then the results or whatever they are. Of course, that takes courage, even so, on the part of the people. But I would say that in 99% of the time, that people really do pick the values that describe the organization accurately.
Ruth, did you see that when you were going through this process? Was leadership, senior leadership, C-suite leadership surprised at some of the results that came back?
Yeah, I think we've had surprises here and there, because we've been measuring year over year, and we have a pretty robust OD department that works closely with leadership teams across the organization. Surprises are less and less happening. I think we have a pretty good sense of what's happening in our culture. But I want to follow up with something that Phil said about the senior leadership sort of setting the stage for transparency in an organization. I think this is critical. This is critical at the beginning and then ongoing throughout the process for not only the top leadership to be wanting to know what is reality in my organization. We call it the courage to face the demands of reality, a quote from Dr. Henry Cloud. But we've got to have that mindset at the top of the organization. But then it also has to be reflected in leaders at mid-levels of the organization, because they, too, are getting measurements of what's happening in their business unit. What's the culture in their business unit? Or what's the culture at a specific location? Because we do measure down to a more granular level in legacy. And how we respond to those results, how we communicate back, what sort of action the organization can see us taking to mitigate some of the issues that we've identified. All of this year over year builds confidence in the integrity of the leadership team, and that we really are looking to know what's reality. Reality is our friend, and then we want to get intentional about making it healthier and more aligned.
Well, it all starts at the top. So I think that absolutely what you are both speaking about is critical to making any process work. And I would dare say any process, whether it be this type process or any mission of an organization, whether it be operationally even within a process, it's got to start at the top and work its way through. Phil, tell me about the assessment that you use, this personal value assessment, and how it is. Well, we know it's executed through an email and an anonymous response, but what is it that it's trying to really grasp at, or one of something, you don't have to tell me what the questions are specifically, but, you know, in terms of what it's really trying to gather at.
Okay. Well, the personal values assessment is one of our tools, but that really is just about your personal values, and everybody can do that free of charge. If you go to valuescenter.com, you can play along even while you're listening to this show, maybe, but that's the personal values assessment. The full assessment is the cultural values assessment, and that's what Ruth's organization has been using. And it's actually very quick to tell you because there's only three questions in it. The first question is, select the values that most reflect who you are. And that's where we want to know who are the people in the organization. The second question is, select the values that most reflect how your organization currently operates. We want to know what's happening now, how people experience things, what's good, and what are the problems, what are the undermining things. And the third question is, select the values you would desire for your organization to achieve its highest performance. And what that means is, if you do have a 4,000-person organization or a 400-person organization or 40,000-person organization, it doesn't matter. You really can get the view of everybody in creating the future. Select the values you would desire for your organization to achieve its highest performance. And often, it's the people at the front line who are really doing the work, who are a long way from the executive boardroom, but know what's necessary to drive the next level of performance improvement. And that means that you can really get their views.
So this culture assessment is provided to everyone, including from CEO all the way down to the line worker, correct? Every single person in an organization.
If the organization chooses to do that way, then that would be our recommendation. Sometimes we'll do smaller samples within a company, but our absolute recommendation is to ask everybody and get a full picture, a full voice from the organization.
Meaning that sometimes you could do it for department levels, correct? So if it's a department within an organization, it could be subsetted out so that we could look at that specific mission. Is that correct?
Oh, yes, and we would do that normally anyway in a large-scale survey. So if it was for a bank, then we would look at the retail part of the bank and the wholesale part of the bank and the administration part of the bank so that we can get an overview picture of the whole entity, and then we can dig into the individual parts of that, the subcultures that exist inside of there as well.
No, that's great. You're listening to the HR Power Hour. We will be right back. Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Bah, bah, black sheep. Have you any wool? No, sir, no, sir. Some nincompoop with pantyhose pulled over his face stole all my wool sweaters and gaming system. Luckily, the Geico Insurance Agency recently helped me with renter's insurance. Everything stolen was replaced, and the little boy who lives down the lane was caught trying to sell it online. Call Geico and see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
Hi, this is Peter Boldick at Harvest Hill Farms. For those folks who are looking for healthy eating alternatives, we have been raising natural range-fed beef and poultry right here in the great state of Maine for over 15 years. Let us introduce you to our Never Ever program. Our animals are never ever introduced to growth hormones or antibiotics, only raised as nature intended. We are conveniently located on Route 26 in Mechanic Falls. To find out more, call us at 998-5485 or go to our website, harvesthillfarms.com. That's harvesthillfarms.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com, and we are talking with two great guests today. Phil Quillier, he is the Chief Executive Officer of Barrett Value Center, calling in from England. Phil, where are you, by the way, in England?
I'm about 14 miles north of Manchester. I'm in a little cotton mill village in the hills of Lancashire.
Well, that's awesome. And Ruth Lund, of course, down in the good old Portsmouth, New Hampshire area for Legacy Supply Chain Services. Again, thank you both for being on today. I appreciate it. You know, what's interesting, we've talked a little bit about going through the beginning of the process, why it's important to be looking at the values of an organization, why it shouldn't be just a plaque on the wall, how we should engage the organization itself. We've talked a little bit about sending out the culture assessment in the last segment and providing that information in from an organization. Now that you've got the buy-in from the CEO, you've got buy-in from leadership, you've got buy-in from the organization itself and all the members of the organization. So, Phil, now that we've got to that point, the data is coming in. We're synthesizing that data. What type of results would an organization say, hey, what would be useful to me to see what comes in?
Okay. I can give you headlines of two real situations. One is a hospital in the USA. And in fact, their core values on the wall spell I care, integrity, compassion, accountability, respect, and excellence. And when we did the values assessment there, we found all of those values showing up in the results. And that's a signal that the leaders are walking the talk and this organization is living those values. In fact, the real story here was that during Hurricane Katrina, there were thousands of people shipped to this hospital for help. And Cindy, who was running the transformation program there, called me three days into the Katrina disaster, and she said, this should be out-and-out crisis, devastation situation. She said it's not, because everybody knows our core values and they're living them. This is working. And it was one of those yes moments, because it was a real commendation that they had done their work to bring this to life. Now, another real organization, this is a bank. By coincidence, it's kind of different end of the scale of the organization, but they said our core values are client collaboration, teamwork, delivery, meritocracy, and integrity. Only one of those words was showing up in the results. And in fact, when they said teamwork, what we saw in the results was confusion and silo mentality. And when they said meritocracy, what we saw in the results was arrogance and hierarchy. Now, this was one of those situations where the leadership team were completely shocked at what they saw. They didn't know this. They didn't understand it. And it took a huge amount of courage on their part to dig in and do the work.
When you're talking about shock and awe in this particular case,
yeah.
Do organizations, do you sometimes see them throw their hands up, go, geez, you know, do I have the right people? Do I, you know, do they sometimes get defensive? And I ask that because that's a natural human behavior when you're under attack. So, and I realize they've done it up front, but gosh knows we all have dealt with organizations, and the fact is sometimes thoughts change. So I just want to make sure that, you know, have you seen that happen, and how do you overcome that objection?
Well, I have a very funny story to tell you, because I heard exactly that. A leader of an organization was complaining to the consultant that he had too much dead wood in the organization. And the consultant responded by saying, so did you hire dead wood or did you hire live wood and kill it? And I just love that, because it's always the responsibility of the leadership team to create the culture. And so when you have that question about, oh, have I got the wrong people or the right people, then of course that's a legitimate question, but that's where it gets tough, and you've really got to look at yourself as a leader and as a leadership team. Now, where we have found a situation where the leaders get the results and then say, are we the right people to do about to make this transformation happen? In fact, I was working with an organization in Europe with 250,000 employees, and on day two of the workshop, we were having to really discuss these results and talk about the transformation that needed to happen. One of their executives asked exactly that question. He was looking at the results, and he said, are we the team to do this? And over the course of the next 12 months, 18 out of 20 of that team left. And it took about 4 years for a real transformation to take place in that organization with 250,000 people. That's a lot of people. But we saw a remarkable change happen. And the old team realized that the way they were running the organization was not going to transform it. And so that was a very painful moment, but the outcome, because of the courage they had to, in that case, for some of them to step down, was necessary in order for that really to transform it. By the way, the organization was pretty close to bankruptcy by that point. So if they hadn't done that, if they hadn't done something, big movement like that, then I don't think they would have survived as an organization.
No, I think that's a great example and really speaks to the power of making sure that everybody is aligned properly. Ruth, you know, I wanted to take a few seconds now, and if you could kind of explain, as the results came into the organization there, how were they received? And then what are some of the things that the organization started to put in place to make the changes necessary to get to where you are today?
That's a great question. I think that the results were received, again, from the executive level pretty positively. There weren't really big, huge surprises, and we were a pretty healthy organization. We were a values-driven organization going into this measurement process. So valuing our people and being intentional about our culture has always been part of Legacy. So no big surprises. Let me answer the second part of your question about how did we actually begin making some of the shifts and changes through two lenses, because we measure really big picture across the holding company. So what's the snapshot for the whole organization? And those results give the executive leadership team that very big picture on how aligned are we with our core values, which, by the way, over 5 years of measuring our six core values, we've moved from zero being in our current culture to 5 out of 6 of our 6 core values coming up in the top 10 of our current culture. So being experienced legitimately by the organization. So that's been one of our results. So we've made some real progress there, just getting intentional about those core values. But also, and here's a piece that Phil mentioned earlier and has been very important for us to keep the company healthy. We've taken those potentially limiting values that he discussed. I don't know if we've used that language today or not, but those values like power and control and bureaucracy, things that can actually erode who we are and the health of our organization, and we've really targeted, for example, confusion has been one that's popped up. We are a North American company. We have offices across the U.S. and Canada. So making sure that our internal communication platform is growing, and that we're putting some effort and resources and getting intentional about timely communication across our organization has been one of the avenues that we've targeted. Another big one has been long hours. We've gone through 4 different acquisitions since 2011, meaning that we acquired some smaller organizations and we've been integrating them into the company. It's created more work for our people. And so we've been really intentional about mitigating some of the impact that can have by resourcing the company wiser and really getting strategic about that to take some of those pressures off. So those are just 2 examples on a really high level, but on a more granular level, and this is important too, when we measure at, and I mentioned the word before, a facility, one of our sites, our locations, because we do take that snapshot there and work with that facility team, we've got an example of one of our businesses impacting their entropy or their wasted time and effort on their leadership team that was showing up there. I'm getting very intentional about that. It required reshaping some of the leadership team and some of the hourly associates and really getting the right people on the bus. Those are some of the hard business decisions that group had to go through. And what we saw in a 2-year time frame is that as they reduced all of that unhealthy culture and they began to mitigate the impact of that, they saw their engagement level. And by the way, they reduced it from 35% to 12% in 2 years. And then they saw their engagement level of their associates go from 58% to 84%, and it resulted in an 18% decrease in cost to run that organization, 20% increase in their productivity levels, 9% increase in their service levels, and 80% reduction in their safety incidents. So we have a saying around here, it's not just the right thing to do to be values driven, it's the smart thing to do for your business.
Now, those are some really strong results. And Phil, in the next and last segment, I'd like you to talk a little bit about, which when we come back, what exactly are the results that organizations are seeing, the measurable, tangible results. And I'll talk about fun as well. How do they now see a fun place to be? And that's on the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back on News Talk WLOB. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
MaineNewsSimply.com wants to celebrate the businesses that make Maine great, businesses like yours. We're looking for innovative, interesting companies to feature on the Mimic Spotlight on Business. Simply log on to MaineNewsSimply.com and look for the link to share your company's unique story. MaineNewsSimply.com delivers headlines from over 50 of Maine's most respected news sources. The Mimic Spotlight on Business is a business profile series co-sponsored by Verrill Dana and Time Warner. Free, concise, timely. MaineNewsSimply.com, the easiest way to stay on top of the business news that matters in Maine.
Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. We're having a very lively discussion with two great guests, Phil Clothier, Chief Executive Officer of Barrett Value Center, and Ruth Lund, VP of Organizational Development and Legacy Supply Chain Services. As we ended the last segment, one of the things that we were talking about is results. And Ruth, you were talking a little bit about results that you saw at your organization. Phil, take us through some of the major results that you are seeing overall.
So some of the major results we're seeing overall is those organizations who really dig in and do the work. We're seeing reductions in turnover of the number of staff, higher levels of creativity, lower levels of cost, and higher levels of profitability. And what we're also seeing is that in the numbers we've done, these companies are also outperforming the stock market. Those who are quoted on the stock market are outperforming the stock market. And so, big picture, we're seeing remarkable results. And not only, as I said, are their people happy, but these are organizations who generally have taken the bigger view about how do we make our society a better place to be as well. So, in fact, there's a big movement that's starting in the USA called conscious capitalism, saying, yes, the way that we're operating capitalism right now, which is really about fear-driven greed, is broken, but if we become conscious and values-driven in this, then we can make the capitalism system really work. But it has to be what's good for you is what's good for me as well, so creating an entirely new way of building capitalism.
When you're talking about using these processes, and I just want to ask a very quick question, is there a size of an organization where this matters? In other words, can it be for an organization that's 10 people? I assume it can be for an organization that has 10,000 people. But what's the value for small or large, or is there a difference?
Well, one of the things we say is that whether you're transforming a large organization or even a whole nation, it's always one person at a time. And yes, we're working with organizations who are 5 people and 10 people. And the real value is the same thing. It's people talking to each other about what's important. So it doesn't matter whether it's 5 people or 5,000 people.
No, that's great. Now, when we were off air a little bit, we talked about something that I think is very important and useful for this tool or any organization when they're dealing with cultures, and that is mergers. Mergers, as you said, are very, you said off air, are very clear that cultures clash at times. And so talk to me a little bit about that merger, and then Ruth, I'm going to come to you a little bit because you just had that happen in your organization. So Phil, start it off.
Okay. Well, it's a known statistic that 75% of mergers fail. And the number one factor for failure of mergers is lack of cultural fit. When you put two organizations together and they clash, then you're in trouble. And one of the things that we're asked to do is to measure the culture of organization A and the culture of organization B and see whether these two things can fit. And if they've already made this choice to go into the merger, it means that the leaders could go into it with their eyes open around where are the parts that are going to fit harmoniously and where are the challenges we're going to have so we can face those head on and not wait to be bitten 12 months down the road when it's too late. And so that's the way that if you manage the cultural part, then you can get this stuff right. Most people just measure the numbers and the products, and they forget the culture because they don't know it could be measured.
No, you're absolutely right. So, Ruth, obviously this just happened at your organization. Can you give me a quick snapshot of what you see and how that really worked at Legacy?
Yeah, well, that was really integral. Measuring the culture of the organization that we just have acquired in 2013 was a starting point for us, making sure that it wasn't just a smart business move, and that this organization was not only offering some solutions to where we wanted to be able to grow and expand, but, you know, to Phil's point, that the cultural fit would not clash. And so that would have been a game changer for us. That would have, if we had seen that in the measurement process. So we did measure that organization's culture before we went through the acquisition. And it wasn't surprising, just based on the leaders that we had been dealing with in that process, that we were very aligned, that they brought some strengths to this organization culturally, as did we. So that was a starting point. It was really vital. And I think I mentioned in our offline conversation that we now have completed the holding company cultural values assessment, including all of our new colleagues. And we'll be able to split out how are they experiencing the culture at Legacy 9 months into the integration process. And how is our heritage Legacy group, those original folks, how are they experiencing the integration? And that will be part of our strategic planning for 2014, just keeping a pulse on how is this really vital merger and acquisition integration going for the organization. So it's been a vital tool for us.
Now, I can see where this would really being able to allow you to assess a culture while you're getting ready to integrate it is just invaluable, as I think of all the mergers and processes we've gone through and are helping our organizations we work with. Anything that could allow that to be a measurable tool would be valuable. There's no question about it. Phil, we talked a little bit earlier in the show, a couple segments back, about some free tools and free information that you have on your website. Could you provide that for listeners so that they can, as you said, go on, look at this information, download this information, and really understand more about what we're talking about today?
Yes, of course. So the first one I want to direct you to is something we call the Personal Values Assessment. And if you go to our website, valuescenter.com, then it's on our homepage. It says, what do you value? And you click the link and you can take it in whatever language you want. We realized that about 2 years ago, we realized that less than 1% of the world's population had ever really had the chance to explore what their personal values are. And if I don't know what's important to me, then I'm making these decisions and choices every day, and I'm doing it unconsciously. And so to become conscious of those, of my values and how they affect me, and sometimes why someone steps on my hot button like fairness or honesty and it makes me angry, knowing that stuff is so valuable. So we wanted to provide that for everybody on the planet free of charge so that they could really understand what their personal values were and the impact it has on life and decisions every day. So that's the first thing. The second one is a book that we've written for leaders and change agents who want to be able to hold these dialogues or just talk to their people in new ways to address these, what's important to you and how do we build a high-performing team and those sort of things. And the book is called Get Connected. So on the same website, if you go to the resources section, you'll find Get Connected and you can download the book as a PDF completely free of charge.
No, that's great. To be able to provide takeaways so that people can actually go look at that and understand that it can be something that they can really use and make work at their organization is invaluable. Ruth, as we get ready to wrap up here, about a minute to go, tell me why you think that this is the tool that an organization should use.
Well, I think, you know, what's made it important for us is the fact that it's a tool that measures an organization's culture through a spectrum and full spectrum and takes a look at everything from having survival skills as a company up to wisdom, visionary, service to humanity perspectives and consciousness as an organization. And so that way, that approach to measuring culture is really important to us because we, you know, we're looking to be a company that makes a difference. So that's why this particular tool, I think, has been a right fit for Legacy.
No, I think it's great. And Phil, what is the website that people can go to so that they can see exactly what it is we're talking about today?
Well, it's www.valuescenter.com. And values has an S, valuescenter.com.
We appreciate that. Also, you can go to the HRPowerHour.com website after the show. You can see information on the show and links directly to that website, as well as links directly to the individuals speaking here today. I want to thank you both, Phil and Ruth, for being on the show today. I think this was a great show, very informative, and I think that obviously providing information to organizations across the U.S. and around the globe are things that we're looking to do here at the HR Power Hour. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and now your HR Tip of the Week. Are you unemployed? Do you want to know what jobs are overrated? According to CareerCast.com's recent survey of overrated jobs, advertising account executive, surgeon, and stockbroker were the top of their list. While each of these sound like lucrative positions, the ranking process took stress and long hours into consideration. Other overrated fields were public relations manager, event coordinator, commercial airline pilot, and attorney. So if you're looking for a job today, take that into consideration. And that's your HR Tip of the Week. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to have two great guests. The first is David Blades. He is the president of Retirement Planners International. And he's going to be talking why a company should offer financial planning as part of outplacement packages. Second, we're going to be talking to Hook Wheeler. He is the senior human resource manager for the JAXA Laboratory. And he's going to be talking about the challenges that remote locations face when trying to hire great talent. Thank you for listening and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.